Good morning. But anyhow, God's good, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to see all your smiling faces. It's Valentine's Day. Who's happy for that? I got a Valentine's card today from my dog. I did. I think Val had something to do with it. I don't think Callie Lou went and got it, but she was really excited about it, and when Val went to kiss me, Callie Lou got it in my face, and she didn't want Val kissing me. So it's Valentine's Day. So for all you folks that are blessed to have a Valentine's, and some of us don't have our Valentine with us, but we, as we studied a few weeks ago about heaven, we know we're going to see them soon. And a few weeks ago, it's kind of calmed down a little bit now, I think, but a few weeks ago, a month and a half ago, I had a real sense in my soul that the body of Christ was going through a lot of stuff. Not that we don't always go through a bunch of stuff, but it seemed like it had been ramped up. And one of the things that the Lord had laid on my heart is that we were focusing more on things that we shouldn't be focusing on and not focusing on things that we should be focusing on enough. And since that has happened, or maybe during that time, the ministry that I'm involved in, New Wilderness Adventures, which I'm now on the board of that ministry, has had two men's conferences. I don't know if it was last week or the week before last. The last one we had, I've lost count, and yeah, it's been a whirlwind of Sundays trying to figure out. Well, I've had two of them. So was it 4 weeks ago? I don't know. But I had a chance to spend that Monday. These start on Friday. We had men come from all over the United States. We had men come from Colorado, Texas, a couple from North Carolina, South Carolina, and it's called the Next Conference. And what these conferences are for is what's your next step in the body? And we did that, and that worked out really well. Well, the last one we did, one of the senators from the state of North Carolina attended, and I got to know him. And now we're talking almost on a daily basis on our phones. And I'm privileged to, this guy's sold out for Jesus, and he's got a rough battle. He used to be the mayor of Shelby, and I really think the world of him. We took Sunday afternoon off, and we went up to Beach Mountain, and we spent a couple hours up there with a couple TV hosts that work with Franklin Graham's ministry, do big commercial productions for ministries, have written several books. And I sat there at that beautiful several million dollar log home on the side of Beach Mountain, and we had just a time of fellowship. But I left there very troubled. I left there thinking, is it me? You know, I analyzed myself quite a bit, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it this morning. Is it me? Or did I just hear, you know, I left there really, really appreciative of what I was exposed to. An old country boy that grew up on a farm in the Eastern Shore of Maryland. And here I'm sitting around all these people that, you know, have great careers and great, and they were talking in words that I didn't really understand the whole time. I'm pretty good, but their vocabulary was much bigger than mine. But I followed along pretty well, and they finally asked me, Bob, what do you think? They shouldn't have done that, because I have the right to remain silent, but I don't have the ability. So I shared with them what I thought, and they took it really well, and I wasn't condemning. I wasn't the kind of person, you know, I'm trying to grow. My walk is, you know, I'm not really good at this yet. You know, sometimes I say things that I wish when I say it, I wish I hadn't said that. But this wasn't one of those times. I had a chance to really speak into these people's lives. And that confirmed the message this morning. It started, like I say, weeks ago. If you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope you do. If you don't, you can look it up when you get home, make a note. I'm only going to read one scripture this morning, and I think it covers it. And I want to thank Jim Taylor for his testimony about his mama. I lost my mama about 5 years ago. I know how that feels. And I had the same feeling. When I got that phone call, Val and I rattled on a tractor and trailer. We were traveling across the country. As you guys know, we used to do that. And I knew my mom was in her last days and last hours and last moments of her life, and she had dementia, and she wouldn't have known if I was there or not. And I decided not to be there, because the last time I saw my mom, she was in good shape, and the next time I see her, she's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. And when I got that phone call, I understood that she'd gone home. She was with Jesus, and she was happy, and she was singing, and I so appreciate that. I so appreciate that I had that peace. You know, we got people sitting in here that's went through that with me. We've got other people that's lost their parents. We've got other people that's lost their husbands and their wives. So So I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about peace. Peace as a body. Peace as a fellowship. Peace as Christians in America. What's that look like? I don't think it looks like what we're seeing on TV. I don't even really think it looks like what we're feeling a lot of times. This is supernatural stuff. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading from John 14, chapter 14, verse 27. John 14, 27. Jesus is almost about to give his life on the cross for my sin. And he's sitting there talking to his disciples. And I look at this almost like his last will and testament to those men that he has tutored, he has brought up. And he is telling them things that are so valuable and are going to be so much in need immediately. And I think in the last days that we're facing today, I don't know if this is going to go on for another 1,000 years. I'm not a prophet. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I do think that we're in the last days. I think we're starting to see the birth pains, as Scripture describes, of the last days. And I think our Lord and Savior is going to come back pretty soon. And I sure hope so. I'm ready. I hope he comes back before I get out of here today. I really do. I mean that with all my heart. I'm looking forward to heaven. Come on now. I heard something. Be careful. Be careful back here. Don't get excited. But I am. I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to it. You know, the older I get, Kurt, I asked Kurt when he walked in this morning, how's 63? He said, oh, it's awesome. And I forgave him of telling that. You know, Lord, bless him. Bless him, Lord. And it is. I mean, I get it, what you're saying, but it ain't like 33. I'm going to be honest with you. There's a whole bunch of changes taking place. And I so appreciate it. I got to hear a little bit of Charlie's message this morning, his little devotional this morning on love. And that's kind of the foundation of where I'm going this morning. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, the foundation of those fruits that Jesus left with those disciples right before he went to the cross in the upper room was love and peace. And without the love part, none of it matters. But if you get past that, you got this peace thing. In this day and age, in 2021, we're going to need this peace that Christ is talking about in his disciples in that upper room. Because we haven't seen nothing yet, folks. All we got to do is turn to the back of the book. We know what's going to happen. We hope that we're not going to be here. I'm a pre-tribber. I believe that we're going to be raptured out of here. And I'm going to be mad if we're not, because I don't want to have to go through that. But you know, it'd be okay if I have to, because he's told me here, with his disciples, what they went through. All but one giving their life as their life for this mission. And he's sitting there talking to them, and of all the things he could have told them, all the conversations they could have had, he could have warned them. You're going to die, and you're going to die, and you're going to get beheaded, and you're going to get sawn in half, and you're going to get crucified upside down, and all those things. He did. He said in John 14, 27, peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I want that. When a doctor comes in and says, Bob, it don't look good, because we're all going to get there eventually. When the blood work ain't right, you got this thing. I want to be able to stand on that. When my wife gets a bad report, you know, if we all live long enough, if the Lord don't come back and rapture us up, we're going to have to stand on this. We want this. I want that peace that don't make sense. You know, the world has a peace. We talk, you know, I grew up in the 70s. I mean, there was a lot of peace going on in the 70s. I mean, we got a lot of 70s here, all kind of peace. I mean, I ain't going there. We all had a little peace in the 70s, but it wasn't real. You know, it was based on conditions. You know, we had peace if you look at the world's peace, it's like the absence of conflict. You know, if you're not fighting, if you're not battling, if you got enough money in your checking account, if I had enough money to buy a bag of pot, I was good. I'd work all week long, pay my bills. If I had $20 left over, that's back when you can get a bag for $20. You can't do that no more. I was good. Those times have changed. Yeah. In an Ethel sub. Val and I'd work all week long to eat a big Ethel sub and, you know, wake up on Monday morning if we could. That's the kind of peace the world has. It's the absence of conflict, the absence of trouble. If everything's going your way, if your kids know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, if your mom and daddy and your family know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's peace. That's peace. But what happens, God forbid, if they don't? What happens if the man that we voted for didn't get elected? It just happened. What happens if things don't go our way? That's where this comes in. Because Jesus knew it wasn't going to go these disciples' way. He said, I'm going to give you a peace that's not going to make sense. I'm going to give you a peace that Jim Taylor's got when his mom lays down in death. That she said, you know, her biggest thing is, don't you buy me a new dress. I ain't going to need it. I'm going to get a new robe in glory. Come on. That's the peace. That's what we need. That's what we have to talk about. That's what we have to experience. That's what we have to say. What comes out of our mouth is powerful. Other people hear it. I got to be careful because I talk all the time. I never shut up. And that's not a good thing. There's some scripture about that too. And I have to repent about that from time to time. But what happens? What we say has power. The way we walk has power. And we need to keep that in mind. I'm going to tell you a little story. This is really weird. I wrote some of the notes down because I think I know pretty much. Who here has heard of Horatio Safford? Horatio Safford. Got one. Anybody else? Good. I figured there'd be several. Horatio Safford and his wife Anna. You started some of this too, because I always love pillars of the faith. You know, Kurt does several messages each year about people I've never heard of. Some of them I have, but most of them I haven't. And this is one of those. Have you heard of him, brother? Everybody's kind of. Once I start this, you're going to know who he is. Last night we were sitting there looking at some YouTube videos, and Val and I were sitting there just having a great old time. And, you know, it's what 62-year-old people do at the eve of Valentine's. Now we watch television. And we were having a good time. And something just, you know, I had a lot of ways I could go with this about peace this morning. And I hadn't thought about this particular avenue, but it just came to me and I looked it up. And I was familiar with it too. I'd heard it many times. But Horatio Safford was an attorney and a businessman, kind of familiar sound, and in Chicago in the late 1800s. Had five children, him and his wife Anna, a devout follower of Jesus Christ. Very well off, and was a huge supporter of D.L. Moody, the evangelist of the late 1800s, early 1900s. 1871, the Chicago Fire broke out and pretty much devastated the city of Chicago. I've been to Chicago. It's a big place, and it was a pretty big place back then. It, you know, it wiped out hundreds of thousands of buildings. In doing so, Horatio Safford lost most of his income, most of his finances. That same year, one of his five children, a son, died of pneumonia. In 1873, he come back. I mean, they rebuilt, and he come back. In 1873, he put his wife and his four daughters on a steamship from the United States to Europe. In the mid-Atlantic, that steamship got ran into by an ironclad ship from Scotland. Had 330-odd souls on that boat. 229 of those souls perished. His four daughters went down with that ship. The wife was found sometime during the night floating on some debris and was saved. When she got to England, she sent a telegraph back says, saved alone. What do I do? And he knew what had happened. He'd lost everything. Everything worth living for. He boards a steamship a few days later. And as they're crossing the Atlantic, of course, the captain knew about it. He called for Horatio to come to the deck, to the bridge deck. And said, this is about where the accident occurred. He went back to his cabin. And he penned the words to the song my brother was just playing. If you turn to page 159 in your books, you'll see, in our hymn books today, you'll see Horatio Stafford's name. And all he could pen that day was, it's well with my soul. I don't know what I would have done. But it was well with his soul. That's all he could say. And he went on to write us a hymn that's been sung so many times. I mean, it's all over the internet. We listened to that last night. That's what I want, folks. I don't want the tragedy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying that 2021, I'm not sure what it's going to be. But it don't look like it's getting better as far as America. But we're the Church of Jesus Christ. And we have an obligation and marching orders to understand what Christ told those disciples and how it's going to be with us. No matter what lies ahead of us, what trials may come, it can be well with your soul. It can be. It's not a given. It's not a given because you walk in this door. Not a given because you've never missed a Sunday. It's not a given if your parents brought you to church since you were 3 years old and you've never missed a Sunday. It's not a given. He said it's a gift. But you got to receive that gift. You got to take that gift. You got to unwrap that gift and make it yours. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never bowed on your knee and asked Him for forgiveness of your sins and turned from those sins and repented, you're not going to understand what I'm talking about. It's going to be foolishness. And it's not my desire that anyone perish. We're all struggling with our walks. We heard some things this week. You heard about Brother Zachariah. You know, we've all heard things. Did you hear about that? Ravi Zachariah came out this week. My point is, I'm not going to go into that this morning. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. Some of you may have missed it. Did you hear about that this week? Christ said, if He didn't shorten the days, the just ain't going to make it. Not that our salvation is teetering because it's bought, paid for. It's because the days are going to get so wicked and the times are going to get so perverse that being what we are today, if we're not careful, is not going to be possible. And no matter what happens, if they hang me on a cross out here in this yard for speaking of the gospel, we maintain, we keep our peace. That's what I'm talking about this morning. That's amazing. I want that. I want to know that. I have that. I have it each morning when I get up. You say, well, how do you do it, Bob? Hey, what do I need to do? Some of you already know what to do. Some of you are doing it. Some of you have already been through what I'm talking about. Some of you are maintaining. When Brother Don went down, we started praying for Brother Don. Sister Betty knew everybody was praying. You had a peace about that. You had to. We weren't sure of the outcome. But we know we had people on our side. We know the Lord was hearing our prayers. That's what I'm talking about. How do you get it? What do I need to do? If I'm a believer and I don't have that peace, if I'm a believer and I'm still worried about who's in D.C. or who's in Raleigh, if I'm a believer, I'm not saying take that out of the equation, but it shouldn't bother you because we're not citizens of this world. If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, you're citizens of the kingdom. Our kingdom is different. My king isn't on the throne. He's my Abba. He's my daddy. I can talk to him, and I do every morning. You get up and you get on your knees and you open up the word and you fellowship. If you're not doing that, you're missing something. ooh, here we go. You're missing something. This week, I was listening to David Jeremiah. I've got the privilege now that Valerie and I are redoing another house, and I've got the tunes turned up, and let me see here. Here we go. And I heard David Jeremiah talking this week, and he read a poem. Somewhere I got it. And I thought it was so cool. Maybe on this page here. And I just happened to hear enough of it that I could look it up. I was running machines. And here we go. If you know, turn that up. That's awesome. Kurt had asked me to wear that thing in my ear, but it hits his beard hair, and I didn't want to shave again this week. So, but anyhow, Brother Jeremiah was talking about the Old Testament, Hebrews, and going into the Promised Land, how they were bickering over the manna. And it was an amazing message about God's provision and how we don't see it as provision sometimes. We get to grumbling about things. But he had read this poem, and I had never heard of the author of the poem, and I looked it up, and I got the guy's name. I didn't get what the poem was called. But it's so fitting about what I'm talking about. How do you start this thing? If you don't have the peace that you think you need, if you don't have the peace that you think God has available for you, what do you do? Well, first you receive him as your Lord and Savior. You get that settled. And I'd love to help you with that. If there's anybody that's sitting under my voice that don't have that settled, I won't embarrass you. I won't even, other than just shout a little bit, I won't say any much. But that's what we're here for. This is not a movie theater. This is a hospital. And we're going to see that more as we see the days approaching. But this poem says, I meet God in the morning. I meet God in the morning, when my day was at its best, and his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long, the presence lingers. All day long, he stays with me. And we sail in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered, other ships distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought us peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings when I too had lost the mornings with his presence left behind. So I think I know the secret. Learn from many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning if you want him through the day. That's written by Ralph Spalding Cushman. He was a Methodist minister in New England that wrote a lot about God's grace, and wrote a lot of poems, and I've read several of them. They were amazing. I found that helps me every day. No matter what I'm facing, no matter what I feel, and they're not always good days, they're not always things I think things and do things, and we found I got a chance to to watch a movie last night. And I don't know if anybody's, how many people in here have ever heard of the Ragamuffin Gospel? Huh? Rich Mullen? We watched the movie about Rich Mullen last night. And I got to thinking this week about Ravi Zachariah. And I got to thinking about other people. I got to thinking about Bob Ivins. That's my name. And I got to thinking about other struggles that we're all going to face. You know, Rich Mullen was a mess. He basically was a functioning alcoholic most of his life. Heart issues, wounded issues from his past that he could never get past. And he met this Catholic friar, and it changed his life. He actually, first time he ever heard it, pulled off the side of the road and started weeping. Because all this friar could talk about was God's grace and how loving God is. And I thought about this week. For me to have the peace in my heart that I need, I have to see you folks differently. I can't always be judgmental. You know, I'm growing. I'm growing slow. I'm growing like that garden I planted this winter or this summer underneath all those trees. You know, it didn't produce a whole lot of fruit. Vines look good. And that's Bob. And that's a lot of you. We need each other. We need that. I think I've got a couple more things. Let me see. Yes. I got a whole bunch of notes. I'm not good at preaching off notes. I'm not good at preaching, period. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. John 14:27. And these are some of the symptoms that I've written down of inner peace. And it's amazing. And it's not me at all. You know, I'm planned out. I'm methodical. I've got everything figured out. And if you can't do it, get out of my way, and I'll do it. And I may smile through it, and I may faux things through it. You know, that's my temper. You know, that's the way I'm built. You know, I've got a 6-speed transmission. I pretty much stay in 6th gear. Other gears, I don't know what they're for. That's just the way I am. The first symptom of inner peace, a tendency to think and act spontaneously rather than from fears based on past experience. A lot of us live in fear of what may happen, what could happen. What's happened to other people? An unmistakable ability to enjoy each moment. That's what heaven's going to be like. Why don't we have a little bit down here? It's up to us. We look way out. Man, I wonder what it's going to be like. Especially at my age, I'm looking out, dude. I mean, I'm serious. I'm looking out. You know, I mean, A loss of interest in judging self. A loss of interest in judging others. A loss of interest in conflict. Some of us like it. There was a time in my life I loved it. I'd rather fight than eat. I'd rather make somebody mad than make them smile. I just enjoyed it. But I was wrong. A loss of interest in interpreting the actions of others. A loss of ability to worry. It's a huge problem. Some of us are just worry warts. We won't admit it. Some of us will if we got it really, really bad. But all of us have it. To some degree, let's see if I can find it real quick. One of my heroes of faith, I got a case on it. One of my heroes of faith is Thomas Jonathan Jackson. I think he was a man's man. He was a leader of men. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Thomas Jonathan Jackson. He quoted a lot of things, usually when bullets were flying. He was a man of war. He was a man's man. He fought. He was a trainer of men that fought. He said, "My religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed my time for death. I do not concern myself about that. But to be always ready, no matter when it may overtake me." Stonewall Jackson. I know who he is now. Stonewall Jackson, they said the reason they gave him that nickname of Stonewall, he would stand there on his horse and there'd be bullets flying. He died at Chancellorsville. I'm a big Civil War buff. I grew up not far out of Gettysburg, and we used to go there a lot. I've been to the Wilderness. I've been to Chancellorsville. I've been to Antietam. I've been to most of the eastern battles, fields. And if you have an opportunity to go at the same time the battle took place, it's a surreal place. You get the smell of it. You get the feel of it. You get to see what the trees look like, and you can just imagine what's going on. He was shot by his own men after dark in the arm. And a couple days later, he actually died of pneumonia. The bullet didn't kill him. Pneumonia set in and killed him. But that's the piece I'm talking about. I can't imagine, in that bloody conflict, a man with that much faith sitting amongst his men up top of his horse and bullets flying around him saying, "Hey, when it's my time to get one, I'm going to get one. And until then, I'm going to carry on." Folks, when it's our time to leave here, we're going to leave here. And the ones that know Jesus Christ, we know where we're going. And until that time, ain't nothing going to take us down. That's the bravery I'm talking about. Some of you men have been in battle. Some of you men have been in war. And you understand what I'm talking about. It's affixed unto us a time. I believe that. So like I say, I'm going to go ahead and close. What's that? What about it? Whose? Who are you talking to?
Story about yeah. The
oh. They did. They shouldn't have. But it was good. They had stacks. These people are authors. I mean, I plagiarize everything. I'm great. I copy and paste. I'm good. These folks write out of their own thoughts. They had stacks of books. And they were good books. She had just finished one, Pray America Great Again. Good. Good book. I mean, she was on fire. I mean, she's ready to take down the world, man. I mean, she's ready to go. And they were educated people. And they were lost. They kept asking, you know, "We just don't know what to do." And that's where this thing came from. You know, a month ago, there was a lot of people that didn't. They were just spinning in circles. They didn't know what to do. We as a fellowship didn't see it coming, but we as a fellowship serve a sovereign God, and He did. And that's where we're at with it. Ain't got to like it. We got to carry on. It's part of it. There's a lot of things I'm sure in Jesus' day He didn't like about Rome, but He carried on. And I looked around there, and I said, you know, the one thing, you guys ask a lot of questions. And I said, the one thing that I see missing on this table is where the answers are. There wasn't a Bible on that table. I don't want to hear your opinion. I mean, I'd love to read your book. I got a really good book this week by a really good guy in Durham, North Carolina. I get books sent to me all the time. I had a book sent to me this week. Had no idea I was getting it. Called The Heart of a Warrior. And I want to read it. It looks like a good book. But I'm not going to go there for my information. That's going to be an addendum. It's going to be something I add to every day. Every day. Every morning, before the sun rises, I meet with God, and I'm amazed by it. And I want to share that with you. I don't know how it's all going to turn out. I'm not a prophet, but I know that my God is going to take care of us. And if we speak positive things and we do positive things, the world's going to be enamored. They're going to see an infectiousness. They're going to see, you know,
I got the other one. I make a lot of notes during the week, and like I say, none of it's mine. See if I can find it. I don't even know if I can find it. Yeah, I can't. I don't know where it's at. But one of the, I read and I posted on Facebook this morning that one of the biggest contributors to atheism in this country is the church. That we say one thing, and when we walk out, we do another. And it's unbelievable for an unbeliever to get it. I don't want to be a part of that crowd. I want to be a part of that crowd when somebody's sick. I can anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of healing over them. I want to be that person that's when somebody's addicted, that I can pray over them and that addiction be removed. I want to pray over that person that's lost and no hope and don't understand Jesus Christ. I can introduce them to my Lord and Savior by the way I walk this earth. That's it. Man, y'all should be shouting. That's it. So, I hope it was some benefit to you this morning. I certainly appreciate y'all coming. Thomas and Andre, it's always good to see you. But it's well with my soul. And like I said earlier, if you don't know Jesus, I don't care if you've been here since you was 12. And that's, well, most of us are way beyond that. Come talk to me. Call me this week. I don't mind talking. I stop and talk to people every day. That work site of mine's turned into a prayer meeting. When I went to that first Next convention, it was one of the things that I said, God, use me in Land Harbor. Use me here. Until you send me somewhere else. And my door has been a rotating. My phone never stops ringing. My doors are open. I got a call from a brigadier general this week that lives in Land Harbor that I knew of, didn't know him. And he said, brother, I hear you're a believer. And I said, yes. He said, I need to get with you. This stuff's infectious, folks. What we got is better than anything in the world. We just don't know how to deal with it. We're not being mentored correctly. Your next step is what I'm talking about. What is your next step? What are you going to do for the Lord? I don't care if you're 100. If you're breathing, you still got a time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you. You're my Father, and I thank you for reaching down and holding onto my hand, guiding me daily. There's so much of this I don't get right. There's so much of this that I want to do better. Father, I want to walk this earth and let people know about Jesus. I want to reach the world, Father. Enlarge my tent. Father, I pray for these people that are sitting here this morning that had the patience to listen to me. And I hope they heard from you. Remind us this week, Father, that you're the purveyor of peace. You're the peace that you sent into this world, Jesus Christ. And have us understand that there's so much more to this. There's so much more benefit and blessing, Father. Father, I pray for our sick. I pray that we get an opportunity to see miracles. I pray that we get the opportunity to see people transformed, saved, delivered, healed, Father. Use us. Father, I'm anticipating your soon return. And it's not by mistake that we're here for that time. Go with us this week. Use us in your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.